It's time for ESPN Las Vegas legal insider Justin Watkins with Battleborn Injury Lawyers, only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
How about this new development as we bring in Reno? This hour is brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. 766-1400, the call from anywhere in the state of Nevada. This show, we go fast, right? And even during the breaks, we go fast. Willie has now decided that TikTok is his new frontier, which I like, but we're live every break.
I don't hit pause.
It's either going to be really quiet in here, as it was this last break, which is going to make it look like we're in an insane asylum, or, like I said, Griffin, who's just, he hammers people around the building. It's unreal. Do you feel comfortable during the breaks? Like, because you know, you talk a little, not about this place, but you get a little loose.
Yeah, you do get loose. No, that's fine.
You control yourself.
No,
we're live.
You can put me live.
Next
on
40
there.
Minutes, we're live.
We
that's fine.
Just,
I'm gonna panic.
I'm not asking permission from anybody.
I noticed that.
We have a lawyer in the house, so I'm not worried about anything.
Okay,
nothing libelous, nothing slanderous.
You can catch me. You can catch me unfiltered. I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
Oh man, I'm not 100% sure of the defamation part of it. I have to be really careful. I don't throw in alleged during the breaks.
Yeah, you got to keep the alleged in. Make it a normal part of your vocabulary.
So I think there's a little bit of puffing out of the chest. This is a very, very local story, but the Mountain West Conference and the Pac-2, a deadline passed. I don't know who announced this. I think the Mountain West did it. They kind of puff out their chest, but deadline passed about a scheduling agreement for football next year.
Yep.
Next season. So right now the Mountain West is saying, we're done. We got to go to non-con. You know, we got to book our game. Sorry, Oregon State and Washington State. What does this actually mean?
I mean, I think that the Mountain West would have re-upped on the same terms that they did last time, but that for Oregon State and Washington State, that was panic mode, right? They had to get some game scheduled. So they paid them $14 million to play three road games with three road games and three home games. So if they were to go out to market with that, in theory, each one of those road games you should be getting paid to go to, and the three home games you got to pay out. So it should be about an even sort of deal. It shouldn't be $14 million out of the pocket. I guess Mountain West is calling their bluff, saying we don't think you'll go out to market. Or I have to imagine the Pac-2 has a plan in place, something already working. There's been rumors of a scheduling agreement with the Big 12. There's some, you know, Twitter conversation about maybe the AAC, because the AAC is likely to pay them to do it because they need the games. And the level of competition between the AAC and the Mountain West, I just don't think is a huge drop off from the Pac-2's perspective, top to bottom.
Yeah.
And
good travel setup too, though.
Yeah, well, the travel setup's a little tougher. But I will say this, you know, week one being on the CW, Oregon State outdrew Washington on the Big Ten Network, was the highest rated college football game ever on the CW, and it was against Idaho State. So we're doing our part. You know, it was only 380,000 viewers, which is low for, you know, say the feature game on ESPN or FS1. But for the CW, it beat every ACC game from last year, and it's the highest rated they've ever had. And it was a FCS opponent. So Oregon State's doing their part.
What do you think of the coverage? I watched the San Jose State game. Boy, they're into the partnership, the broadcasters.
My lord. Yeah, I would say
which is good. You know, it's like I don't expect them to freaking eviscerate the teams in the first game.
Right. I thought the commentary was good. The play-by-play was pretty good. You know, the graphics and all that were, I'll say, better than I thought. Still some room to go. And, you know, they got the partnership now, you know, with some WWE crossover and stuff like that. It'll be interesting to see, you know, their next opponent on the CW and it won't be FCS, to see if Oregon State can back up those numbers and maybe double those numbers. Because if you're on 99% of the households, even though it's a CW, you know, last year we averaged 1.2 million viewers a game. And that put us what would have been in the top four of the Big 12. That's the kind of numbers they need to put up if they want to get an invite to a Power Four. They can't put up half a million viewer numbers and expect that invite.
Justin Watkins with Willie and Cofield. Reno is with us. Okay. So I'm wondering what's going on behind the scenes. Let's get into a little legal here. Willie covers the Aces a lot. He's around Becky Hammond a lot. I wonder what she's like behind the scenes now. Because what I'm hoping for is we've got white T-shirt. It's not a gate yet. What I'm hoping is Becky Hammond sat them down like 2 weeks ago and are like, enough of the dress up before the games. Let's get focused.
No shot.
And now leading the way is Asia Wilson, who's like, you know what? I'm just wearing a white T-shirt. We're getting serious because Becky told us.
No shot.
No shot. Which part?
No her shot yelling that at everyone it was like Becky that? Hammond.
Okay.
No shot that it was Becky Hammond. In my opinion.
It would be me. I would yell at everyone.
In
to
my
stop
opinion,
with the dress up.
Asia Wilson said, you know what? And by the way, when I first saw this.
Don't get loud.
I was enunciating.
I'm getting ready.
Don't get loud.
I'm getting ready. I just
king
yelled.
King of loud over here.
Yeah, yeah. Matching his energy. Right? Just matching energy.
Tea calling kettle, right?
Yeah.
When I first saw this, I knew exactly what she was doing. And then Callie Lawson-Freeman does a story on it. SportsCenter picks up on it. There's no doubt that this was Asia Wilson saying, you know what? Enough of the tunnel walks, enough of the this. We need to eliminate everything that has nothing to do with hard work, work ethic in the at practice, in the game, so on and so forth. We're so worried about the outfits. I don't think Becky Hammond needed to say it because we are talking about the greatest women's basketball player on the planet. Asia Wilson has set the standard because there was someone else, and I can't remember which player, which one game later said, Team Asia, I'm with you. So it was not Becky Hammond. I do not think it was Becky. Asia is the one that's setting this standard.
Are you worried about your bet? You should be worried about your bet.
Oh, he knows. I was worried about that 2 weeks ago. That's nothing to do with the bet.
Over under 28 and 12.
I got four games, New York, Connecticut, two in the Fever. I am done. I congratulated him 2 weeks ago.
Okay, good.
So you don't think Becky laid down the law?
No.
There's no HR violation here?
No.
Controlling dress in the office? Because you can't really do that, can you?
You can. Of course you can. You can have, absolutely. You can set a dress code as you want. But the key is that you don't discriminate based on it, right? You can't discriminate. You can't treat any different protected group differently. So as long as it applies across the board, you're good. Now, where you could get yourself in trouble, let's just play out a hypothetical that's not in place here. But let's say everybody on the team was a black female, and Becky Hammond is a white female, and she institutes this dress code for the players, and then she herself goes out and gets all dressed up. I would not advise that as an attorney. It may be fine because one's a coach and one's a player, but it wouldn't be a smart thing to do because you're opening yourself up from a PR standpoint of, you know, dictating to a culture.
Yeah.
How they should dress when you yourself are not adhering to it. It wasn't a team thing. You could argue it was a culture thing. But that's obviously not what happened here, and that theory can't even play out because the whole team is not black.
I'm a little confused where you said, and that may be fine, she's the coach of the player, but realistically, that would mean that anyone beneath her, so the assistant coaches too? I mean, realistically, a team is a team, and when you look at the team page, it's a roster with coaches, assistant coaches, and players. How would they not have to abide? I'm just curious off that line that you said, which was fine because she's the coach.
Well, because what you wear in the tunnel when you walk out as a player is not what you're wearing out on the court. What you wear as the coach is what you're wearing out on the court, right? That's their uniform for the court.
Okay.
So they just have a different dress standard.
Yeah,
they have different
–
they have different obligations. They have different job duties. Where you really get yourself in trouble is people of the same job being treated differently, and how they're being treated is part of a protected class.
I'm going to add one more thing. Asia and Becky's relationship. Becky has far too much respect for Asia, and Asia would have no problem when Callie did that interview and she said, I decided that I don't deserve to have that runway walk until we start playing like champions. If it was it would have come down to that, you know, Becky and we all decided as a team this and this. If it was Becky Hammond, as Steve suggested, could that have been?
By the way, it was a joke.
But I'm just saying in general, if that was the case, as you suggested, not meaning you meant it.
Right.
I loved it. The first time, like I said, the first time I saw it, and I think Callie asked the question knowing what the answer was going to be to get the quotes, to get the story. When I first saw it without even reading Callie's story, I loved it. I knew exactly what Asia was doing.
No, that's awesome. That's exactly what you want from your team leader and the best player in the league.
And
that's
planet,
exactly what you want.
Planet. Planet. Best woman's player on the planet.
Okay.
Just giving you that. Yeah.
Is the white T-shirt edict, has that pushed it over the top? So she gets to overcome winning teams?
I've been seeing that.
Massive winning teams?
I've been saying that since the beginning of the season. Stop. I've been saying
Willie will have a rant on TikTok in his live thing. He'll be like, Breonna Stewart could never come up with a white T-shirt thing.
Stop.
She doesn't deserve it, even though they're going to finish 10 games ahead of the Aces.
Steve.
I mean, he's put on a show for TikTok while he's doing it.
It's pure insanity.
I'm not doing
If they were – do we have the Miami mayor? If they were looking for a common enemy, it actually would not be someone in the league. How about this snitch down in Miami? They're honoring Asia Wilson, and she lets it slip out. Fire this?
Yeah, Asia. Asia Wilson. And she won gold in women's basketball. I guess that has something to do with Bam and the Heat, huh? Being here today. Well, we are super proud. We're going to be presenting the keys in a moment.
Terrible.
I mean, what are you doing? It's under wraps. Her and Bam Adebayo. No one knew about it except our audience.
Did you see this?
No.
Do you know what he's talking? Okay, so they honored Bam Adebayo, and the mayor is announcing, and they bring the gold medal. He's up there, and then she automatically shouts out Asia, who, by the way, the first thing I thought of besides the rat aspect of it being a snitch up there. She played last night at T-Mobile against Angel, and they're down in Miami, right? Is that where this was at? Didn't it take place in Miami? She took the red eye to see her guy. They were seen doing videos, and they got the secret handshake in Paris, so on and so forth. So the speculation was out there, but the fact that the mayor decided to throw that out there on video, and now it's viral. I love Sid Colson's response. She screenshotted the mayor talking, and she said, just know if I send this to you, I'm snitching.
Well, I'll say this. The mayor did her job, right? She's now viral. People know her name that wouldn't have known her before.
I think Cheryl Swoops has done her job. There's only so many respected WNBA voices out there, led, of course, by Willie. But the Swoops discussion of Caitlin Clark early in the season and where she is now. So, first of all, she spoke at the game yesterday. I don't know what it was. At a scrum? Was that a one-on-one? I don't know what that was. After the game.
She hung out. She talked to fans. She talked to people. And a scrum surrounded her and was asking a question.
So we got less than a minute. Set this up, and I want Justin's reaction because we do want to hit on Rookie of the Year and this continued
Caitlin
Clark
thing. Cheryl
Swoops
has been catching flack for weeks on basically ignoring and allegedly not giving Caitlin Clark her flowers but shouting out everybody else. The only thing that I will say about Cheryl Swoops, that these comments and these things, it's so far from racist, because when you think about it, the one thing, the video that came from it was when she shouted out Lexi Hull, who's white. So let's get off that for a minute. And I know Cheryl from the year one of Athletes Unlimited. But it is pretty apparent how she's done her best to avoid talking about Caitlin Clark, point blank.
As she should. I mean, she started off her conversation with Caitlin Clark by being completely wrong about all the facts and criticisms that she had, you know, talking about her age and how many shots she did and how many years she played. I mean, she gave, like, probably the most ignorant opinion you could give on Caitlin Clark ever before she ever played a game, and never came out and said, like, I was wrong, never publicly acknowledged that what she said was incorrect. And then, so now she just continues to double down on it. It's like Caitlin Clark against Cheryl Swoops.
Justin Watkins is with us, if I could say his name correctly. Justin Watkins is with us, Battleborn Injury Lawyers. This hour is presented by Battleborn. 766-1400 is the call from anywhere in the state of Nevada.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
I like that angle over there. Nye's doing work with us. She's doing work with Justin Watkins, who's in studio. I'm thankful for every piece of social media we get, but these side shots a couple of weeks ago of Short and Squatty, me, were horrific.
Short and Squatty.
Yes. Like, Greg Salerno is our most sensitive person on the show. But when I saw the picture, right, Griffin? Then I sent you a message. I'm like, what is happening here?
I thought you looked fantastic, but you know,
because the cargo shorts are too short, so I have no legs. So it's Dorf on radio, and it's not good. It's not a good look. But we got the pros in here.
Let's take it easy there, Turbo, with the fantastic. Go ahead.
Will Ramirez is here as well. Although you're going to hear from him every once in a while when he feels like not doing his TikTok video that he's doing live here. This is his whole life now. But we appreciate him being here. Okay. So it's too bad that one of our fellas is not in today, the big Michigan fan. Adam Hill, who watched Connor Stallions in this documentary, and he feels all vindicated in Ohio State, federal law violation. What they did was way worse than all the spying and sign stealing. I don't know if you got a chance to watch it, but the evidence put out on Connor Stallions was pretty convincing.
Yeah.
Now, the documentary did a lot of whataboutism. Like, it sets it up, and it's like, what an elaborate system that Michigan had.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan had, right?
Yep.
Oh, but Ohio State did something even worse. Let's talk about what Michigan had set up for the casuals out there who haven't watched this thing. This was pretty impressive what they did that helped turn around the program.
No doubt. I mean, that's the thing is they were, you know, if you take that time from 3 years ago, I mean, Harbaugh was arguably a flop there. You know, they were average in the Big Ten. They weren't competing against Ohio State. I think they'd lost three in a row or four in a row at that time. You know, he was not an impressive hire. They start doing this advanced scouting where Connor Stallion's buying tickets at the 50-yard line on the opposing side of the, you know, the team he's scouting that's not playing Michigan, playing somebody else. I think he did something like 12 or 14 Ohio State games. And he or somebody he gave the tickets to is uh-huh. filming the sidelines and decoding all of the placards to figure out where they're at. You know, and I have some Michigan fans that are friends of mine, and the idea that they think that this was not actually, like, utilized or actually done is just crazy. Because if you've seen any of the videos where they ignore receivers on the end of the field, they literally line up nobody on them. All the players are on the other side of the field where they know the play is going to go, and the play happens, right? And Stallion's right next to the defensive coordinator, and Harbaugh's right there too. And if, like, yeah, Harbaugh's the coach of the Chargers now, but to me, it seems completely crazy to think that he didn't know this was going on. I mean, you're standing right there. Wouldn't you be going, hey, what are we doing? We're not guarding these receivers? Call timeout. We got to do something. But no, they, you know, sniff out the play, they stuff the play, and all of a sudden the whole program gets turned around.
And what they claim was, hey, they were getting beat at that game. Everyone does have an effort to steal signs. They went Belichickian.
Yeah,
I mean, it really is Belichick of college football. It is Barry Bonds. It's Barry Bonds watching all these guys. He's the best player in baseball. All of a sudden, he's not keeping up with the Joneses, the Reuters, and he's like, I got to do it.
Yep.
And he got nabbed. Michigan appears to have gotten nabbed. Connor Stallions is one of the more brilliant people you'll ever see in terms of a football mind. He's dedicated. He loves Michigan. And come on. I mean, then he's just lying in it. He's got a network of people who are going to games, filming specifically the people putting in signs at other games.
Yep.
And sending him the video. And he's like, oh, they just sent it for fun.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You bought the tickets. I just like to watch videos. I'm like, no, dude, it was an elaborate, organized scheme that, in all likelihood, went all the way to the top. If not Harbaugh, there was a little buffer, but he knew about it.
This is
and certainly his coordinators knew about it.
It's hard for me to believe that he didn't know what was going on to some level, if not the very details. But just to be clear, you are allowed mm-hmm. to decode signs and sign steal. What you're not allowed to do is go to a game, advanced scouting with filming.
Right.
He could have gone to the games and tried to figure it out right then and there. Write it down, take notes, try to decipher what's going on. That was within the rules. Mm. So, yeah, I'm sure all the big, you know, players in college football are doing something like that because they have the resources to do that. But it's within the rules.
Yep.
You know, if what he was doing was all okay, why didn't he tell anybody about it? And why didn't he cooperate with the NCAA when they asked? Why did nobody else cooperate?
It is so enlightening, too, because I used to mock on the guys in the NFL with the cards.
You know,
Andy Reid's got the card. But apparently this is so advanced that it's always a game to try to beat each other. And Michigan was killing everyone at the game. Now, also in the documentary, which I think was favorable to Michigan, there was this notion that Connor Stallions – got caught, NCAA has evidence, because someone hacked his computer. There was a private investigator. They're tied to Ohio State. They committed a federal crime!
I didn't even have to watch the documentary to know that they have no idea whether or not this is true, just by the statements of the attorney. Because the attorney is so wishy-washy about it. We think they may have. It could be. It might have. You know, there is no statement of fact. if they had any facts about this, I guarantee you there would be a lawsuit backing it up right away. Because once you put it in a lawsuit, you are protected from defamation. As long as you're talking about the allegations you make in the lawsuit, nobody can go after you for defamation. Now, there is no lawsuit. He's outside of the court. And now we got may haves and should. Who knows what they were doing? We think maybe his email was hacked. Ohio State might have something to do with that. They clearly have nothing. If they had something, why wouldn't you sue if you're Michigan? Why would you not? It's going to lend some credibility to everything you're saying, and people will give you maybe a free pass on some of the more unsavory things you're doing.
By the way, just go back to Barry Bonds.
Yep.
Right? Why didn't he sue for defamation? Because he knew in discovery he would get destroyed.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go advanced here for a second. Not even advanced, but next year, who's going to hire Belichick? Who do you think?
I don't know. You think there's going to be somebody?
Yes. I think this whole TV rehab thing, they're going to love him up, and someone's going to be so desperate for a coach. Let's say it's the Buffalo Bills.
Okay.
If I own the Bills, I tell Belichick, you do what you want with your coordinators. I will hire you, but only if Connor Stallions is on your staff. Otherwise, I have no interest.
Right.
He could be the greatest cheater, best advanced guy ever, even better than Ernie Adams, who helped Belichick win Super Bowls in Patriot land. But here's the story. If that started to develop, right? What if the NFL was like, nope, Connor Stallions is banned from the NFL.
Right.
Could they do that?
Sure they can.
What?
Yeah, sure they can. Why not?
Based on what?
Based on the allegations that they have. I mean, they wouldn't do that. They wouldn't do that without doing their own investigation, certainly.
That's what we need,
right?
Is another NFL.
Yeah. But if they were, let's think about that. If they were to do that investigation and were like, no, we're not going to allow Connor Stallions to be hired into the NFL, then I think there's a whole bunch of the NFL that would be looking in the direction of Los Angeles saying, wait a minute, but Harbaugh's leading a team? Like, those two things just can't happen in
vacuum.
We can't
do it because he'd be right? Admitting that he knew, you know, he loves the guy, he knows him. We know he loves him.
Right.
So he can't do it.
I mean,
the best conniver, advanced scout, borderline cheater because of Spygate. Yeah. Of course he should hire him.
You know, I think like Jim Harbaugh's press conference really? With the Chargers about this was like gross.
It was.
It was gross.
Yep.
And it, you know,
I told everyone.
All I need is a reason to jump off the Chargers and, you know, come home here to the Raiders.
You don't have the option right now.
I know.
You have to stick it out. You got to stick it out with Harbaugh.
I know, but God.
Because you're going to enjoy the spoils. It's going to gross you out. But I know you're going to enjoy the spoils with the Chargers.
The second you do it.
I'm not sure that he's going to win.
The Chargers are going to run.
But I'm not sure he's going to win because he wasn't winning before they were cheating.
Maybe it was Connor Stallions and he does need him.
Maybe. I don't know. But his, you know, I was raised that when you've done something wrong, you stand up and you apologize for it and you make it right. Today, I have nothing to apologize for. It's
right.
Like, oh, gross, dude. Huh? Just.
Like, and I said on the air about 3 weeks ago, everyone's like, you know, Harbaugh's right. I'm like, he will come unraveled. His players will see who he really is. He's a 4 or 5 year guy. He was longer at Michigan because he was a college coach. But at some point, the players will be like, this guy's a jabroni. He's not to be trusted.
He's not even a 4 or 5 year guy. I mean, he's really 2 to 3 before the players are worn out. And then maybe he has a final farewell year.
Again, that's the advantage of Michigan is you have a new crew every 2 or 3 years.
Right, exactly.
And you can do that when you're the all-powerful in college.
He clearly wears people out. Like, you know, I mean, he's done it at every stay. So I don't know. I mean – I'm having a hard time. You know what? I'm in a survivor pool for the first time this year. We're in, you know, one of the contests here in town.
What are you going to do?
What's that?
What are you going to do?
I'm just going to be the fan of whatever one I pick every week.
We need the quick quick rankings from you. Andy Reid, Jim Harbaugh, Sean Payton, Antonio Pierce. Give me the rankings of the coaches in the AFC West.
Oh, my God. Well, it's Andy Reid first.
Look at this. You cornered him.
Wow.
I don't know. I mean, it's probably
– I bet it's probably
Sean Payton second, and then Harbaugh third, and then Pierce fourth.
I bet you if I ask you from an ethical standpoint, that's changing.
Well, None of them, yeah, other than Andy, yeah, Reid, are clean. I could think of scandals for them all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Andy Reid is clean.
What do you got on him? Oh. Allegedly.
Are you forgetting stuff?
Come on now. What we got?
Come on now. These are all, and unfortunately for Antonio Pierce, he is stained by what happened at Arizona State.
100%.
So. But you know what? For NFL fans, and we're going to break here. For NFL fans, I don't think they care. As long as the players are happy, a win-at-all-cost coach is what they want. They just want to win. It's not a contest of character judgment. Right?
Absolutely.
It's the way it works.
They don't
win.
Care. Yes.
They've all got a little bit of bad marks on the resume. We'll come back. We'll get into Survivor a little bit with Justin Watkins here on this Wednesday.
Now back to Justin Watkins with Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
So your pick for Survivor will be your team of the week. If you can get a hat for that team, that's your big team.
You don't have
a team anymore because of Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers.
Maybe.
Okay.
I mean, if they win it all, I'll be there with my Chargers gear on.
Of course you will. Of course you will.
But yeah, it's tougher and tougher. It's tougher and tougher.
Okay, Willie. Well, you have a 9-time winner of fantasy football leagues right across from you. You said you have a dilemma. You're back in fantasy football, so run it across the guru here.
Okay.
Run it by the guru.
I'm not a fantasy guy. I used to just for fun.
Okay.
Decided to get back into it. I consulted with Adam Hill.
Okay. Well, that's a good start.
Yeah, oh,
okay.
And I was like, hey, but the main reason is to be able to talk about it on the show, number one. But number two, have additional topics to send in to Steve about certain players and whatnot. But there's a certain Rams wide receiver. I'm trying to pull it up, and there's a certain Rams receiver that is questionable. Now I don't know whether to start him or not.
Puka.
I mean, you drafted him. That means you probably drafted him in the top two rounds.
Well, yeah, but he's questionable. And I can't get – I don't know. Every report that I'm looking at – now, the first injury reports did come out, but nevertheless
– You're stressing over questionable? Half of my roster's questionable.
No, see, I don't know. Yeah. See, okay,
this is every week. It's okay, always questionable.
Let me rephrase.
Please.
I'm not a fantasy person,
yeah,
so don't start smacking me around for something that I don't know about. Be like me asking you a legal question. Well, I don't know.
I mean,
I don't know that means that's normal.
You got to look to see if they're practicing. Is it a hamstring?
It's,
were they out the previous week?
It is the worst thing about fantasy football because inevitably there's at least one situation a week where you're like, ah!
Yeah, exactly.
Didn't start him. Okay. 8 catches, 112, and a touchdown.
Here's my team.
If they're out, if they're out for a hamstring or a high ankle sprain, I don't put them back in, even they're questionable, until they're confirmed or they've actually played a week.
Right now, here's who's in the starting lineup. Lamar Jackson, Puka, Pittman Jr., Derrick Henry, Aaron Jones, Evan Engram, although Brock Bowers was told that I was told that he was going to be starting, and Rome Odunze. That's who I have. That's who's listed as the starters when I open.
What do you got, like a 6-team league here? What
are you doing? Yeah, it's like, where do you get all these players? How many people are in this league?
10.
Oh, okay, that's my honor. Ah, look at the snootiness. 10 teams.
It's either 10 or 12.
That's a good one. You don't want to, if it's your first time back in, don't go too hardcore. Yeah. Oh, wait. It's smart.
Defense special teams is Dallas. Kicker is Brandon Aubrey.
Sounds like you got a good team.
The best was right afterwards, and then Yahoo puts the little analysis,
Grades?
The AI analysis together, and this then I the got best. It. Yep. I was predicted to finish second to last. I was given a D-. I showed it to both Adam Hill and Alan Liker. They laughed and said, ignore that. And Alan Liker from the RJ said, the last time I got a report like that, I won the league.
There's actually a whole thing going on social media about Yahoo's rankings, and the people are saying the same exact thing. If you have a D, there's a good chance you're going to win. If you have an F grade, you're in good shape. If you have an A, you're screwed. Yahoo doesn't know what the hell is doing with this grade.
I feel like I just got into a fantasy league with my kid. It's like we're, you know, you're freaking out about questionables. We're talking about the AI grade review. This is good stuff. It's brand new. It's a new experience. Yeah, that's okay, though.
Okay.
It's the same experience.
You, we're like your grandfather, and you're talking me through it.
Okay. All right.
766-1400 is a call from anywhere in the state of Nevada. Number, of course, offices in Reno. I want to get local. I feel like I'm going to botch local now. Locally, Battleborn.
Yeah.
Summerlin. Downtown Vegas, Henderson.
Reno. Yeah. Okay. You got it. I mean, because if you just say Las Vegas, downtown, and Henderson, right. Las Vegas could be anywhere. We're in Summerlin, so we got the valley covered.
Right.
Anywhere you are in the valley, we're less than 15 minutes away.
You're soon to be the new goal. Community master plan community in Red Rock. See how that they're building a master plan community out there.
Yeah, I know. Be a great place to.
You're going to go Mark Davis and change your mind? Mark was over on the west side and then decided to build the
I'm building right now. I'm under construction.
I know you are. He's trying to get you to switch.
Henderson. No.
We got to get out of here. So we appreciate you coming in. Good fantasy football advice. And that Ohio State-Michigan take will be replayed a lot for this show. Everyone needs to shut up. Michigan, you're in the wrong.
It's Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Betting. Only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Of all weeks, when we need real experts, Willie's an expert, but for picks on games, we're loaded. We're loaded up. Wes Reynolds, VSIN, is up with us. The spot is presented every day on Sports Gambling by Oasis Bar and Grill. Wes, how you doing, buddy?
I'm well, Steve. Thanks for having me on. How are you?
I'm good. We got a lot of games to get to, but I know people are excited to find out what's going on with you and VSIN. So tell us when people can hear you, Wes Reynolds.
Well, we have, of course, a switch, new programmer. So as that happened, programming needs change. So weeknight Wes became weekend Wes. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be on during the NFL games and the college games on Saturday from 10 to 2. Live bet Saturday and live bet Sunday. You'll also catch me Monday and Thursday night after Monday and Thursday night football from 8 to 9 out here, kind of doing the end game post game on a show called Cashing Out.
Nice. All right, well, let's go rapid fire like we do with all you guys, and we'll start out with some college football. And certainly we've got some Mountain West spots to hit, so I'm intrigued by the Boise State-Oregon matchup.
Yeah, I am as well because, look, Boise State is obviously the favorite in the group of five to go ahead and get that spot in the college football playoff. And I think that they're a very good team. But if you watch that game against Georgia Southern, they got out to a 28-9 lead, and then they were trailing in the third quarter. This is actually a one-score game in the fourth quarter. Boise State kind of got away a little bit, even though Georgia Southern covered. Boise State did give up 27 first downs in the game, which I think is a little bit of concern for that defense, because Oregon, if you look at the numbers, was actually really good on Saturday in terms of Dylan Gabriel's performance. They just were kind of sluggish against FCS Idaho in the first game, and that's an opener. Not everybody is going to be firing on all cylinders in week number one. So I laid a little bit of 18 with Oregon. It's now up as high as 20. If you want to lay the worst of the number, you could potentially play over 40.5 on the team total. But I think Boise State's going to have a real difficulty stopping the Oregon passing game. They couldn't stop Georgia Southern throwing the ball on Saturday.
Wes, defending champ, Michigan catching touchdown and the extra points. Plus 7, I believe, right now across the board against Texas. True line there?
Probably a little high now. I think maybe the opener at 6 was actually a good true line. And look, I think that we all know that Michigan is going to take a little bit of a step back, at least certainly offensively, defensively, even with Wink Martindale now as the new defensive coordinator. I still think that this is a top 10 national defense. But you saw against Fresno on Saturday, really couldn't get away from Fresno. Fresno was running stuff offensively. They're just running against one of the best defenses in the country. But I worry a little bit about Orgy. That's why they were using him as more of a runner, because he had really difficulty passing. And Michigan just, they don't really have that big play threat. Colston Loveland is a really good steady Eddie receiver that can help you move the chains. But this is certainly not as an explosive team. You have Donovan Edwards in the backfield, but without Corum with him, the running game maybe is not quite as good. But now that it's over 7, it would be Michigan or pass for me.
Team that'll be here a few weeks, Syracuse, catching points from the first team that took a swing at Florida State over in Ireland, Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech laying the 3.
You look at Georgia Tech, they did get the cover. By the way, no, that was a really difficult spot for Georgia Tech, where they went to Dublin and then got the win, and then you get Georgia State at home. But if you look at what happened in that game with Georgia Tech, Georgia State had a lot of bad luck. They had first and goal from the one on the first drive. Then they fumble a snap at their own 20. Georgia Tech scores a touchdown on the ensuing drive, going for it on fourth down. Then later, Georgia State settled for a field goal when they had first and goal from the three. And then the final minute of the first half, Georgia Tech scored another touchdown on fourth down. So I think they got a little bit fortunate. And Syracuse did not cover against Ohio, even though the market came on Ohio. But Kyle McCord, clearly an upgrade at quarterback. Syracuse didn't even have a quarterback that could really even throw a forward pass last year. Now, got to get a little bit better set in the edge against that run, because the Northwestern transfer, Tyus, had about 200 yards or something on like 15 carries. So I like the Chiefs at home getting a field goal.
Wes Reynolds, VSIN, is up on Cofield & Company during our Eye on Sports calendar, presented each day by our friends at Oasis Bar and Grill. I like some angles that you're on here. Basically, I think a lot of it is, hey, teams got off to a good start. They made impressions. You know what? We're going to fire against them. What are we doing, Utah State and Southern Cal?
Yeah, Utah State, I went 28.5. It's not like a super confident play, but I just think USC was kind of like, okay, they're going to be about a 7-win team, and we forgot about them, and then they beat LSU in a standalone game, and Miller Moss was terrific, but I just think that they're going to come out a little bit flat now. It's a shorter week because they did have to play on Sunday. They have a bye on deck, and then they get Michigan, and then they get that really tough schedule the rest of the season, so this could be a really flat spot here. Utah State, by the way, has a couple transfer quarterbacks. Bryson Barnes, of course, the former Utah backup quarterback. Spencer Petras, who got hurt last week as was at Iowa. But I think Barnes is the better quarterback. Look, I think USC's offense is good, and I think their defense, at least the tackling, really improved with the Anton Lynn coming over across town from UCLA as the DC. But watch that game against LSU. The middle of the field was, like, wide open, and LSU just couldn't take advantage of it. I think maybe Utah State can stay within the number.
Wes, did you have an early week column in college football, if I'm not mistaken?
I actually will tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
I will have a column, but, you know, you got to bet some of these openers on Monday because they're going to move.
Yeah, there was somebody that I read and had a slew of games, and one of the ones that stood out that I actually looked at just because I liked the thought process behind it, so it made me read more into it. But Iowa State, Iowa, the total is 35, and the opening sentence of the column was, I will preface this pick by saying you absolutely should not watch this game, and I just started laughing. So it made me want to read more about the total.
Yeah, this is one where you can go walk the dogs or go work out, go do something else, and then see if the result was positive at the end. But this was just a low-scoring game. Game always comes down to the wire in the Cy-Hawk rivalry. I think 8 of the last 12 meetings were like a one-score game. So game, you're right, did go under. I think it's 17 of the last 19 that it has gone under. Iowa actually started really slow last week and then was really good in the second half against Illinois State. Meanwhile, Iowa State really couldn't get away from North Dakota. Didn't even come close to covering that big number. But I'm going with the Quones here. It's one of those where it's like dog or pass for me because this rivalry, I think, is so close. And Matt Campbell, if you look historically, when he's an underdog of three or more, he's about 66%. So when in doubt, go with the dog, and that's what I did here.
Wes Reynolds with Cofield & Company. You got something on Texas Tech Wazoo?
I do not. I do kind of lean Wazoo, but it's almost one of those spots, Steve, where it's like Texas Tech, we know, went to overtime. They were to the wire with Abilene Christian. They got absolutely hammered, though, in the transfer portal. So I don't know what's going to happen with this team.
Let's switch to the NFL. I'm looking at some of your plays. Boy, I like this, man. I like this a lot. People are afraid. First of all, out of the gates, Panthers? Carolina Panthers?
Yeah, look, I like the Panthers, actually. I have them over their win total. I took a shot for them to win the division. Now, that may be a bridge too far, but I took a shot when it was 15-1 over the summer. Look, I don't know if Dave Canales, you know, what kind of a leader of men he is. And that's what, you know, we have to yet to see bear out. But I do know he's very good at developing quarterbacks. Geno Smith had his career year 2 years ago in Seattle. Baker Mayfield had his career year in Tampa last year. I don't know if Bryce Young is going to quite have that because he's still going to be 5'10". But I do think that they've improved that offense. They really helped over the middle, too, signing two guards in free agency, Robert Hurt from Miami. So the protection is going to be. I like Carolina in the spot. Derek Carr, we know, has historically not been a great favorite over the years, and it's not all Derek's fault. It's the fact that he always has a new offensive coordinator, seemingly, pretty much almost every other year, and he has another one this year with Clint Kubiak after he had Pete Carmichael last year. And, you know, sometimes it takes Derek a little bit to adjust to a new offense, and he's still got that same bad offensive line. So I'm down on New Orleans. Road dogs, by the way, usually pretty good. The teams that didn't make the playoffs the previous year when they go on the road as an underdog, historically pretty darn good because the market's so low on them. So give me Carolina outright.
I was talking last night to folks about finding an alternate for the Bengals and Patriots in Survivor, you know, taking Cincy. I was suggesting Seattle 5.5 against Denver. What do we do with the spread, though? I mean, are we comfy enough? I mean, I guess that meets up with my thoughts on Seattle being the Survivor team. So what do we think of the Seahawks?
Yeah, I did lay 5.5. It's nice. 6. I would still lay 6 for smaller. This is kind of going against Bo Nix. Even though Bo looked very good in the preseason, I think rightfully won the job for Denver. I just think that this is a tough situation against a Seattle team that's a little bit undervalued in the market. Nobody's really talking about them. I like Ryan Grubb as a match as offensive coordinator with Geno Smith better, and I like him with Shane Waldron. So I think maybe you see a little bit of rebound for Geno. He's got really good weapons in terms of his receiver. Mike McDonald, I think, coming in from the Ravens, he's going to shore up that defense. They're not going to be elite right away, but they're going to be better. And then rookie quarterback on the road in his first start. The last rookie quarterback, by the way, I was reading, to win game one, here's a trivia question, was Sam Darnold in 2018. So it doesn't happen very often, and I don't think it's going to happen for Denver here.
All right, let's go to the end of the week. My Jets, always apprehensive, always a little nervous, getting a good chunk of points here. Do you trust the Niners now that they have the entire team back on short notice? But what are we doing this one?
Yeah, and it did get back to 4.5. Obviously, that number was getting hit early, and that went down to 3.5. I was like, this is going to close below 4 rather than closing above 4, and it still might, but they do have Williams. That was even more of a key than Ayuk, to be honest with you, because that 49er line without Trent Williams is basically a bottom third offensive line if you look at PFF or any of the other sites that rank these position units. But I like the Jets here going across country. It is Aaron Rodgers back going to the Bay Area. I think that this is going to be more of a running team, Steve, and I think you know that. You follow this team really closely. They're going to run ball, and why wouldn't you when you got Breece Hall and you've improved that offensive line, bringing in Tyron Smith. They seem to be a little bit healthier than last year, and we know the defense is one of the best in football. So I think 4.5 is an absolute take here with the Jets.
Wes, you are the man. Definitely want to get you on relatively soon. One more time, Pop, what you got going on with VSiN, especially your next appearance?
Yeah, tomorrow night after the Chiefs and the Ravens opening game, I'll be on from 8 to 9 on VSiN with Joe Cerullo on Cashing Out, so in-game, post-game, and then Saturday and Sunday, 10 to 2 Pacific for some live betting for college football and then week one of the NFL.
Thank you, Wes. Appreciate it.
You bet, guys. Thank you.
On Twitter, at WesReynolds1. Eye on Sports Gambling Every Day is brought to you by our friends at Oasis Bar and Grill on Decatur, south of Tropicana. You got a $10,000 giveaway, gaming front there every other month. Monday Night Football with Johnny and the Monday Night Maniacs. It's pretty wild. A lot of prizes given out and stuff beyond that. I'll just tell you that. They have a lot of prizes lined up. They didn't have all the information yet, but they give out a bunch of stuff. And a great place to eat. The menu is dynamite. They have a daily special. We'll have that just about every day for you. Today's daily special for dinner, beef stroganoff. Get soup, get the cream of cheese, bacon, potato, or you can choose a salad. You want to follow them on Instagram at Oasis Bar and Grill. And we've got a live Cofield and Company coming up next Tuesday, 3 to 6. Next Tuesday, Oasis Bar and Grill.